Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
If they find that I happen to walk across the street and maybe go against the light or something, let's impeach him. So we'll probably have to do it again because these people have gone stone cold crazy.
All right, the president not happy, obviously, with what he's just been through. That was something he talked about at the White House with a packed room of supporters. And then at the National Prayer Breakfast, he reacted similarly, talking about what he had just been through. If anything, with this trial over and the political chaos that has really been going on in Washington for the last couple of months, let's face it. Now it's all about a new phase, and the new phase is moving forward and trying to get reelected. And some of these rallies, I think this is going to be part of it. He will certainly talk about the whole impeachment process, what happened, a little bit anyway. And he held up to the group at the White House, he held up the front page of the Washington Post story about his acquittal, and he said, "I didn't do anything wrong. I did nothing wrong whatsoever." And in the East Room, the people were thrilled to hear that. And he said, "It's appalling the things that were said. Tearing up these falsehoods, isn't that the wrong message? I feel very liberated. I feel that I've extended every possible courtesy. I've shown every level of respect." And then one of the things that he did is he praised Utah's Mike Lee, calling him incredible during a session in which he extended individual accolades to dozens of Republican allies, including Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and several others that, remember McConnell, ensured that the three-week trial didn't have witnesses or new evidence, and then that led to the acquittal, ultimately, for the president. With a lot of the off-the-cuff remarks, the Republican lawmakers who were there certainly clapped throughout, and this is it again, moving on, moving forward to trying for that re-election bid. And at the National Prayer Breakfast, he said, "I don't like people who use their faith as justification for doing what they know is wrong," which I think is a reference to Mitt Romney. And in the meantime, it was a weird day for Romney because Nancy Pelosi, who ripped up the president's speech at the State of the Union, where everybody could see it on TV, defended Romney, praising him for courage and described the president's attacks on him as without class. So I think the Nancy Prez wars continue. If you want to see a war of words and constant back and forth, I think she'll try to avoid that, but she'll be chased around too much and asked about things that are said. So that's what this is going to look like. And now the Senate has voted to acquit him on both articles of impeachment. That's it. Boom. The president stays in office. The impeachment trial is over. And poof. This started back on September 24th. Can you believe it? I went back and looked at my notes. I knew, it had been months. September 24th. Because remember, you had closed door hearings, subpoenaed documents, all of that. And this is where it ends up. They had the House of Representatives adopting both articles of impeachment against him, and he became just the third president to be impeached, and now it's done, it's over with, and it's about what happens on the campaign trail. And really, like I said, the campaign trail for the president, I think for sure, is running on the economy. If people are saying they're happy with the economy, and we're seeing that in a lot of polls, no matter what, for sure, if the economy's healthy, that is one of the huge markers to a president getting reelected. I mean, we've seen this time and time again. But I don't think the dust has settled at all. I think more dust will be kicked up. So what happened at the National Prayer Breakfast and the off-the-cuff remarks are definitely vintage the press anyway. I think we'll probably see more of that. Let's go to Grimm in Mississippi. Hi, Grimm.
Hey, Kate. Now, he's just better off to quit tweeting and keep his remarks about the Democrats to himself and not lie, and he'll get reelected a lot easier.
I agree with the tweeting thing. He's not going to do that, though. The tweeting thing, they can't get him to stop tweeting. So I think he can't. You know, here's the thing. He can't help it. I mean, you know, they put him in the corner.
Well,
they did the whole impeachment thing.
You and I both understand.
Right.
But for his own sake, so that he doesn't screw up in a tweet or something.
Right.
And gives the propaganda, because that's what really got him in all this trouble. Not the Democrats.
Right.
It was the people that had the power sitting up there in the banks and the communication centers that did this to him, that didn't want him, that convinced every single one of the journalists they call themselves journalists,
mm-hmm.
to dig and dig and dig and broadcast foulness and support the Democrats, and we'll get them out of here. And voila. And you ask me, with all that kind of power, if that was the best they could do, boy, that was pretty sad.
Well, you know what? There you go. Therein lies the deal. So you have the opportunity to do it, and that doesn't happen. And they, you know, there's the evidence, the witnesses, the whole thing, whatever happened, put it together. That's the bottom line. It's on you. It is on them. The convincing didn't happen. They couldn't sway them, whatever. Yeah.
What about all of Hollywood? I'm sure there's some writers and whatnot that could have colluded together with, well.
Okay, I get what you're saying. Yeah.
It's an espionage type game they're playing.
Yes.
But, it's always been. It really has been. But to get back to everything, we did the first two this week. Now let's do the third. Do you remember I asked you a question that if we were actually witnessing the end of the Democrat Party?
Yeah. Here's my opinion. Seriously. This president gets reelected. You see what's happened all along the way. The Democrats, to me, just can't get their act together. It's so many different junctures. We keep seeing the same thing. And I don't know. I mean, to me, I think a weakened party, certainly, there's no question.
Party.
Right. Yeah, we did. You and I talked about it a long time ago. But the music means we're out of time, Grimm. Thanks. We talked about a third party. What about the Sensibles instead of the Deplorables? How about the Sensibles? Anyone want to join my new party, the Sensibles? Stay with us.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never not once been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have longevity.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com, 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Now, don't just walk away, pretending everything's okay, and you don't care about me. When all your lies become your truth, and I don't care. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Could you love me in the eyes?
Sweet, time for a little of This or That. That's when we bring Eric in, our technical maestro for this version of the show, and myself to do a little this or that. So we start first with food, because, of course, any good party starts with food, as we all know from the woman cave, when we take you inside the man cave. Eric, pizza or burger? Which do you prefer, pizza or burger? You can only have one.
I'm going to go with that burger.
Burger! Me too. Okay, so here's the thing. Burgers have been good and bad for me. My hubs, Manchur, always says, oh, please don't say burger again. He said I would annoy him because anytime he said, what do you want to get, I would name like one of 50 burger places because I was like a connoisseur of burgers. And now because we're really getting in shape, I've had to cut back on that. Not that I haven't had any, but I like a really thick patty, and I like, I'm going to ask you how you like yours. I like cheese on top of it and like jalapenos and that kind of stuff, or maybe some surprise in between. I even like, what are they called? Those patties. You know what I'm talking about, where the cheese is melted and they squish it down. Oh, I'll think of it in a second. But how do you like your burger?
I like mine. I like a good bison burger, cooked like or medium rare type, you know, and maybe some avocado and jalapenos. Be nice.
Yeah, I've eaten that same burger. I like bison too. Bison tastes better, don't you think?
Yeah. Yep.
I think so, too. I had my first bison burger maybe in Atlanta. I think I was in Atlanta. So I like pizza, but if I'm tasked with making the decision, I'm going to pick a burger every single time. Every single time. All right, Netflix or any other streaming service. So do you like the streaming thing, doing the streaming thing?
I kind of have to just because money-wise... But,
cheaper.
Yeah, it's just cheaper. But lately, we've been watching a lot of Hulu, so I guess I'll go with that.
Hulu is good, right? They have some good shows on Hulu. What do they have on Hulu that you watch? Is there anything you can think of off the top of your head?
We've been watching a lot of X-Files, actually.
I love X-Files. See, everything's retro now, going back to some of the better old shows. So you like sci-fi?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, there you go. I like some sci-fi. It has to be good. X-Files was good. What's that music? It sticks in your head. I can't do it. And David Duchovny is great, and his partner is great in it. I think they're excellent. And it's true. Here's what's happening for people listening. I don't care if you're old guard or not. If you look at what you're being advertised, you'll see these shows like Picard is coming on. So if you're a Star Trek fan, you see it. But it's not coming on your regular CBS service. You have to get the streaming service because the networks are probably saying, hey, wait a second. Everybody's streaming, so we need to make some money. So we're going to start other content that you can only get through streaming. Or they'll advertise something really, really good that you want to watch, and it's on a streaming service. It's crazy. All right, beach or mountains? Which do you prefer?
I'm going to have to go with mountains.
Mountains? Have you been to the mountains a lot?
Yeah, I grew up in New Mexico, so we camped out a lot in the mountains during the summertime.
You camped out a lot in the mountains. Okay, so I know a lot about New Mexico because I used to work for KOB-TV there, and I like Santa Fe, and I've been there a ton of times. We took the show to Santa Fe. We took the show to Taos. I lived in Albuquerque, and I used to have a boyfriend whose parents had a house built into the side of the Sandia Mountains. You know the Sandia Mountains?
Oh, yeah, in Albuquerque.
Yeah, and what's cool about that, people don't necessarily think of that, but if you go to Albuquerque, and Eric and I can tell you, they have a little, I remember hiking up there, but they also have a monorail that will take you up to the top, and there's a good little, I'm going to call it sort of a bunny hill to ski on, in Sandia. The Sandia Mountains, and it's right there in Albuquerque. But I do like the mountains, but I'm a beach person, so I would say I grew up where we went to the shore, and that was a big thing for my family. There was a whole ritual of going down, and the other cousins and everybody was there, and my cousins still do that. I like the whole idea of the beach. Under an umbrella, body surfing, hanging out, building sandcastles. And I've been to beaches all over the place. And I like mountains, but I pick beach over mountains, so we differ there. And this is this or that if you're listening. Okay, so hopefully you're listening. Eric, plane or car travel? Do you like travel? Do you like to travel in the car? Or would you rather travel in a plane?
I gotta say, the plane. It's just comfier. Sometimes it could be more exciting too, but I guess it depends on the distance. But yeah, I'll have to go with plane.
Plane. Show me the plane. I'm going to agree with you on the plane, although in my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, which you hear me talk about in the spots that air, that I have a whole piece about the fact that I couldn't get on this plane and I had to go to a gig, and so I had to drive 17 hours straight. We both did. And he, Manshore, prefers, he wants to travel by car. He is nostalgic for, let's stop in old towns and go and see mountainous places and cool beaches or whatever there is to see, or go down Route 66, and let's get from point A to point B and comfort in the plane. So I agree with you. And plus, with how long it takes, I mean, it'd be great if we had all these time, you know, all this time off that you could do that, but no, I'm more the plane person too. Bowling or mini golf? You go out on a family outing and you could do one or the other. Which do you prefer?
I'm a sucker for bowling, so I'll go with bowling.
Are you a good bowler?
No, I try to be. I pretend. I act like I am, but not really.
I love that. I act like I am, but not really. I like bowling, too. My family, when they were in town from Tampa, we all went bowling on New Year's Eve, and it was so fun. Oh, my gosh. It's fun to go with my nephew. It just was fun. And I'm an okay bowler. I'm not the worst. I'm throwing gutter balls the whole time. But, yeah, but mini golf is fun, too. I'm now into this bowling phase, though, but I used to like to do the whole mini golf deal, except for that on mini golf, and you might know this, Eric, if you've done that. When you go, it unfortunately gets all backed up with people, and then they're chasing the balls all over the place, and then it becomes more hassly, so it's not as fun.
Yeah, I don't have a whole lot of like great experiences with the... I remember, yeah, losing the balls and stuff like that.
Right, chasing them around, long lines, that whole thing. All right, how about this? Axe guitar, for people who don't know, or drums? Which do you prefer?
Well, I play both, so I would have to definitely go with drums.
Drums, so you're a drummer, so you have a drum kit, you go home and you bang on the drums all day when you're not here?
Yeah.
Really? Have you played the drums your whole life?
No, I picked them up when I was 15, so now I'm 31 now, so about...
Well, that's a pretty long time, though. That's like 15-some years.
Yeah.
Are you playing in a band?
Yep, in a kind of a punk or heavier rock type of band.
I like heavier rock. What's the name of the band?
Battery,
and so you play like on the weekends?
Yeah, pretty much.
All over Minneapolis, like you're like the hot commodity. People are waiting to have your autograph, the whole thing.
No,
taking selfies with you.
We try to. That's the goal. But we played kind of all over Minneapolis, but we definitely want to play more places.
Nice. All right, so I like that. Do you have a favorite drummer?
I have a few, so I don't have a favorite drummer.
Like, there's not just one.
Not just one, no. There's so many. They all have so many different styles, you know.
They do. You know who I liked? And people forget he was a drummer. Phil Collins was a drummer. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was good.
He was pretty good. He was good. And, I mean, now I think people think of him as a singer. Wow, another edition of This or That. Thank you very much, Eric.
Thank you.
All right, stay with us. I got to go get a burger, and then we'll be right back.
All across the country, people are coming together to speed up what we can learn about health. The All of Us Research Program is calling on 1 million people to join us as we try to change the future of health. For your family, for future generations, for all of us. Visit joinallofus.org and find out how you can become one in a million.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at gcnlife.com or toll free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at gcnlife.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
U.S. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
A suspect is in custody after ambushing two New York City police officers, one Saturday night and again on Sunday morning. The first was a shooting toward officers in their patrol van. Then, according to Police Commissioner Dermot Shea,
just before 8 o'clock this morning, less than 12 hours from being here last night, a man walked into the 41st Precinct Station House on Longwood Avenue here in the Bronx. He immediately pulls out a gun and fires multiple rounds towards the desk area.
A lieutenant was hit in the arm. Both men are expected to make a full recovery. In China, the death toll from the coronavirus is now over 900. And there are now 40,000 confirmed cases in China. 14 Americans have contracted the disease here in the United States. This is USA Radio News.
Dish TV is better than cable TV. Why? Because you can save 45% on packages compared to your high-priced cable bill. Wow. Take those giant scissors out and cut the cable and save with Dish TV. Plus, you get a free DVR upgrade to record your favorite shows and free installation. And with Dish Anywhere, you can watch TV for free on your mobile device. Act fast. You can save hundreds of dollars. Does your cable company do that for you? I don't think so. Get all the best TV programming at your fingertips at a fraction of the price of cable TV. So say adios, arrivederci, goodbye to the high cable bill, and save up to 45% on Dish TV packages today. These are limited time offers and can change at any time. Call fast. 800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739.
I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this. But you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-377-1456. 800-377-1456. That's 800-377-1456. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
Sci-fi, and I think part of that is because of my husband, and we've talked about it. He is really, really into science fiction and fantasy and that kind of stuff when it comes to movies and television and even books. So it's really a treat to have Susie Vivian with us. She's written a book called The Blue Orb. Suze, thanks so much for coming on Author's Corner.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
So let's talk about that. You and I talked about this off the air. To write any form of fantasy or science fiction, I do think you have to be a fan and have favorites and have read different people. And you and I talked about your influences. Tell the audience some of the people that you've read in the past.
J.R.R. Tolkien is my number one favorite, but I also like a British author, Terry Goodkind. He writes fantasy, and it's hilarious. He's really funny. And then Stephen King has written, of course, some really good science fiction fantasy stuff. And
Those are all three powerful writers. And here's what I like what you just said about this, that there's also humor in all of them. They wrap humor somewhere in what their message or book or plot is about. Did you find when you sat down to do this and to create this that was kind of in your head too, some of the things, some of the elements you wanted to put into the book?
I tried, but I don't know what it is, but trying to get humor into writing humor is a lot harder than you think.
It is, but I do think there was some humor in your book, absolutely. And, you know, let's go right to it. Let's go to the plot. You talk about a specific land hundreds of years ago and a powerful wizard that creates this blue orb, and the blue orb can amplify. I mean, it amplifies with just a couple of words. Boy, I wish I had a blue orb in my life. I just have a cracked, dented crystal ball. So tell us about the story. Unpack the story for us. What's the story about?
It's about some witches who have found this ancient orb that was created by a powerful wizard who was leaving a legacy. Well, the witches, it was a legend, but the witches were able to find it. And so that's when the story takes off, as a young woman by the name of Jasmine has decided that she cannot allow the witches to have that orb because she knows they're evil and would choose to take over the world or whatever and turn it into a really nasty place. So she does all she can to get it from them, and then the chase is on. The witches are after her, and she finds help with a wizard, Darkon, who is aging, but he's very powerful as well. And so she has him to help her. And they need other help, too. So they go on a search for a young man named Donovan. And so they they have the witches chasing them the whole time. And then Zora, the head witch, can actually direct this wolf male with her magic. And, well, she sends him after Jasmine, but they give him problems the whole time they're on their journey, Zarkon and Jasmine and some of his soldiers. But, yeah, it's just trying to keep that orb away from the witches and to set up a plan where they can meet with them and hopefully destroy everything that the witches want to do. But, yeah, there's a lot of twists and turns and things like that, too.
I like it. In fact, I'm going to give you, here's my best reading of this, right? And you take us right to that spot where you're talking about Zarkon and what happens there. And he's a great wizard. He fears the witches have the legendary blue orb. Ooh, that provides them with more power the longer they possess it. One day he hears someone riding toward his castle. I love castles. At a frantic pace, he opens the door to Jasmine, a young woman who has just stolen the orb. Yikes! And somehow escape from the pack of wolves chasing her. I love it. So then the question becomes, and the cliffhanger is, will they succeed in their mission, their quest, or will the witches catch them and once again get the orb? And that is the fantasy of this. Were you fascinated by witches? How did you come up with this plot? Because I think it is something to stretch your imagination and come up with a plot and something that will intrigue people.
I don't know, it just kind of, as I was writing, it just kind of flowed. I knew I wanted witches for sure, and the wizards and all of that magic and that. And so once I started, I just kind of knew which way I wanted it to go. And, I mean, there was some editing, of course, going on with that. But, I've just been fascinated with power of orbs and stuff that you can, that you could direct your spell and stuff like that. So I just, it was just fun to come up with these witches and what they wanted to do.
Yeah, I love that. I love the whole idea of a wizard and witches and the orb. And for people listening, I mean, I think what it is when we read a novel, when we read science fiction or whatever the genre is, we want to escape. Did you have that in mind when you were putting this together, the reader, yourself, etc.?
Oh, yes. That's one reason I love to read, is because I can go someplace else. And I thought, I just want to create that for somebody who would read my book, is that they could just get out of their normal life and just escape a little bit into something more fun or exciting.
Yeah, exactly. What's more fun and what's more exciting than to escape into a different world, and especially when you have the plot of the good versus the evil, and then how do you come out in the middle? When you were actually sitting down and writing it, because I bet there's even people listening to us, Susie, that have an idea of writing a book, but they'll never do it. And you did it. I mean, you sat down, you wrote the book. What was that feeling like for you?
It was fun. I set a goal, and every day I would write 1,500 words. And it motivated me to just keep going, and it kind of forced me to be dedicated, that is huge, is getting motivated and actually doing it. Of course, that's obvious, but it takes something special to get you doing it, and to just, you know, write down what you're thinking and then deciding later what stays and what goes, you know. Just writing a draft is huge.
Yeah, absolutely. And we want to tell everyone, you can get the blue orb on Amazon.com. If you go there, you'll see it. You'll see a cover of the book. And we're speaking with Susie Vivian about her, you know, her idea, writing down the 1,500 words, the goal, and then ultimately coming up with this. So then the question becomes for you, what's next?
I've started working on a sequel to that blue orb. I want to hopefully make it a trilogy. I'm excited to add to the story. There needs to be more written, I believe. So I'm working on that. That's my main thing right now.
Yeah, I like that, because that's what happens, and especially now when we see trilogies are popular, when you get involved with the character. I think of, we all know the story of J.K. Rowling and how she sat in the coffee shops and just poured out what was rattling around in her head, and how that became such an enormous series, and I think we all look at that and think, okay, what's the rest of the story? So you're right. Where can you take us from here? Where do we go next? What do you hope for people listening they take away from reading your book, The Blue Orb?
I made the heroine to be, well, she's small. She's not this big, powerful woman who can do all kinds of wonderful things. She's small and more ordinary, but she has skills that she learned from her crazy brothers when she was growing up, and so she's able to defend herself and take care of herself. And I wanted it to be something that you read that and you think, well, I might not be, you know, somebody big in this world, but I can still do good. I can still influence outcomes. Yep. And yeah.
I like that. That's a great takeaway. Susie Vivian, of course, the book, The Blue Orb, pick it up. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Kate.
What's here and what is there? shot at in Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet, scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on a plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success, and why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily, now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen. Well, hopefully not. While pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now, anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
I can't tell you how pleased I am that we get a chance to shine a light on this in case you're unaware of it, but you know, today is National Black HIV/AIDS Awareness Day, and it is kind of, it's not kind of, it is one of those days to give us an opportunity to realize that we need to keep moving the conversation forward when we talk about HIV prevention, treatment, and care for African Americans, really for everyone too, when we know that working together, wouldn't it be great to put an end to the epidemic? And I've had people on this show who have had HIV, and I've certainly in my career highlighted some of the horrible things that happen to people, and especially if it can be prevented. I mean, that is the key. And who better to talk to than Dr. McCree, who's the Associate Director for Health Equity Division of HIV/AIDS Prevention, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Thanks so much for coming on with us, Donna. We really appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you for having me, and thank you for that great introduction. I think you're right. This is National Black HIV/AIDS Awareness Day, the 2020 observance, and the theme is We're in This Together, which falls in line with what you just said. It's about the importance of really support from friends, family, colleagues, and partners, and a day for conversation like we're having, and really, more important, action toward the goal that you mentioned, ending HIV in America, the time to act is now.
Oh, boy, and I would love to see that day. So for some people, Dr. McCree, there still is a misunderstanding about HIV, what it is, and really the other question is, how common is it in the United States?
Well, human immunodeficiency virus, which is HIV, the virus that can cause, if not recognized and treated, AIDS. There are about 1.1 million people that are living with HIV in the United States, and about 6 in 7 of those are aware of their status, and that's very important, knowledge of your status. What's important to say, too, is we talk about what's going on with African Americans, and there's still a reason to speak about it. We've really seen some encouraging trends that have emerged over the last 7 years, 2010, 2017. Some decreases in African American women, 27%, decreases in young gay and bisexual men, 13 to 24. But we've seen some increases in those who are gay and bisexual black men, 25 to 34. And more than 40% of our new HIV infections in the United States occur among African Americans. So we really do need to talk about what's happening. And what's important, too, is this is an exciting time because we have the most powerful prevention and treatment tools in history, some great cutting-edge technology and strategy. But those strategies aren't reaching all communities fully. All communities are not fully benefiting from those advances. That's how we're going to end this epidemic, making sure, particularly when we talk about, go ahead.
So how do we end that? I mean, how do we get that word out? I mean, obviously doing things like this, but what do you attribute that to, that, wow, there's this availability, but it's not accessible in some areas?
And that's the issue. I think, too, knowledge is key. We have to help people understand their status. That's the first thing. Testing is the first step. And, you know, CDC recommends that everybody, age 13 to 64, be screened at least once in their lifetime. And if you have specific risk factors, you should be screened at least once a year. That's important because testing is the gateway. You know, after a person tests, let's say they test negative, then they can be linked to some important prevention services if they happen to be at high risk, like PrEP, pre-exposure prophylaxis. That's giving the drug used to treat HIV to persons at risk for infection to reduce their risk of acquiring HIV. If they happen to be a person with HIV, then we link them to treatment and to care. And this is key. A person with HIV who knows their status, they're on treatment, they have the virus under control, they have virtually no risk of transmitting HIV to their sex partners. And that's a key. So getting that information out is critical. And you know, also understanding some of the factors that might prevent individuals from actually, you know, knowing their status. And we talk about this observance, too, is about stigma. It's still around almost 40 years after, you know, the first cases were identified, and people having limited access to care, things like poverty, all of those things also affect individuals' ability to get into appropriate treatment and care. And some African American communities are more impacted by those factors that we talked about. So all of that has to do with the action that we need to take. So this conversation is very important. It's about knowledge. It's about the conversation. It's about the action. That's how we end HIV in America.
Yeah, so we're speaking to Dr. Donna McCree, Associate Director for Health Equity, Division of HIV AIDS Prevention, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And what you've been talking about is a part of the CDC's role in this new federal initiative, Ending the Epidemic, A Plan for America. Is there anything else you would add to that?
Yes, Ending the HIV Epidemic, A Plan for America, a bold initiative that's going to set us on the path to end the epidemic in 10 years. And the first phase is going to increase resources, technology, expertise in the areas where it's needed most. And we're talking about 48 highest burden counties in the United States, along with D.C. and San Juan. And then there are 7 states that have a really heavy rural burden. And so we're going to be using 4 key strategies, and this is not just CDC. This is the Department of Health and Human Services wide. Many of our agencies, federal agencies, are working on this initiative. We want to diagnose all people with HIV as early as possible. We want to make sure that we treat people with HIV rapidly and effectively so they can get the virus under control. We also want to prevent new HIV transmissions, and I talked about one of those methods, PrEP, pre-exposure prophylaxis, also syringe services programs for persons who might be at risk through injection drug use, and we want to respond quickly to any type of outbreaks to get the needed prevention and treatment services to people who need them. So we're working closely with state, local health departments, community-based organizations, people with and at risk for HIV, as well as what I mentioned earlier, some of our federal partners, to really coordinate efforts to expand these strategies and get the work done. And again, it's about action. The plan is about action and an opportunity that we once thought was impossible and now achievable. And we also want to be sure that we address and reduce those racial disparities that we talked about.
Yeah, I love that. What was impossible now is possible, and action is the key. So finally, great information. Where can listeners, and we've got a lot of them, where can they go for more information about HIV and where to get tested?
Well, for information about HIV, our website has a wealth of information, www.cdc.gov/HIV. For testing information, you can visit CDC.gov to find free, fast, confidential testing. Or we also have a hotline, 1-800-CDC-INFO. That's 1-800-CDC-INFO. All of those are available. And today, as we just mentioned, time to take action is now. All of us have a role, but we have to take action in order to end the HIV epidemic in America.
Yeah, amen. Perfect place to end this. Doc, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
All right, so interesting as we wrap up for your health. What is just unbelievable is this coronavirus. We've been updating you on that. And even as this leaves, you know that more people, sadly, are perhaps perishing from it. But the coronavirus outbreak has killed more than 560 people, infected over 28,000, most of them, of course, in China. Close to 60 million people are under lockdown in China, in fact, with the three cities reporting over 1,000 cases. And the virus has spread, because so many of you have asked me about updates, and I'm constantly getting updates. The virus has spread to over 25 countries. Wow, folks, think about that. Infected more than 250, killed two people, thousands, and this is so wild to me to think of. But thousands of people are being quarantined on two cruise ships docked in Japan and Hong Kong. So there was the two different one, the ships. And some of those passengers are Americans. And sadly, two newborn babies even have been infected with in ground zero of this, infected by the coronavirus, and the youngest was diagnosed at 30 hours old. So this is a very deadly virus, and the World Health Organization is incredibly concerned about it. Of course they are, and we keep getting updates on it, so I just wanted to update all of you on it as well. Thanks so much for listening to this hour of the show. As I'm fond of saying, make it count, everybody.
Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen
oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Tejibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com, 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.